Well, this week, as you know, saw the fall of MF Global Finance, which went bankrupt after buying tons of debt from flailing European countries, so much so that its debt-to-cash ratio was 40 to 1. Shades of the Wall Street investment firms that bought and sold bad mortgage-backed securities back in 2008. And you think of both collapses when you watch the new movie Margin Call. Now, we want to spend a few minutes on the film today because it's so chillingly close to the headlines. In Margin Call, a young analyst played by Zachary Quinto is called into the glass-walled conference room of a high-flying Wall Street firm to tell the head of the company, played by Jeremy Irons, that his computer models show the company is about to suffer a huge loss.
That loss would be greater than the current market capitalization of this entire company.
So, what you're telling me is that the music is about to stop and we're going to be left holding the biggest bag of odorous excrement ever assembled in the history of capitalism.
David Denby, in his review in The New Yorker, calls Margin Call easily the best Wall Street movie ever made. J.C. Chandor made it. He wrote and directed the film, and he joins us now from the studios of NPR in New York. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So lots of speculation as to where you got the story, from the headlines, from reading, you know, Michael Lewis's The Big Short, or listening at the dinner table.
Yes. My father did work in the business, not as a trader, but he was a middle level investment banker for almost 38 years of his life.
We are constantly having experts on who remind us that back in the day, investment bankers weren't so high flying. People didn't buy and sell mortgages. You kept them at your home bank. And
exactly.
I'm wondering if, especially the Kevin Spacey character has a little bit of your dad in him, in that. He seems to be a decent man who was from that time, who is actually a little mind-boggled by some of the trading that's going on now.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a movement to sort of, make banking boring again.
Is this something your dad talked to you about? Would he talk to you about the business industry changing?
I think it's certainly something I observed. He's a very, very good soldier, both literally. He actually was a soldier in Vietnam, so he is a very good soldier, but he was also a very good soldier for the company. And it's not something my mom actually was probably the person who was more sort of outspoken about what was going on politically within the company and stuff. But Spacey's character, he's a combination of two or three people, but there's certainly a bunch of the way my dad went about his work. And the sort of shock, and not to overuse the pun, but the shock and awe of seeing where this has ended up.
Well, in your film, the end begins with a massive layoff on the Kevin Spacey character's trading floor. He runs the floor. He is the good soldier, so he rallies his troops. Let's listen.
You're all still here for a reason. 80% of this floor was just sent home forever. We spent the last hour saying our goodbyes. They were good people, and they were good at their jobs, but you were better. Now they're gone. They're not to be thought of again. This is your opportunity.
Look, the whether it came from my family or not, the banking system and in this country and in the world has gotten, unbelievably complex, to the point where there really is no one individual that can grab a handle on it.
Yeah.
Some of the interviews that I did with people on the floor in leading up to this, I would sort of ask what someone two or three rows over from us was doing. What's that group doing over there? And 2 minutes into the explanation, you sort of started to realize that the person you were talking to, who certainly knew what they were doing, had absolutely no idea what was sort of going on next to them. That's something that certainly plays itself out in the film.
It does. As the higher someone goes up in the hierarchy, the more millions they make, the less they seem to understand what their analysts are actually doing. Here's Kevin Spacey's character again with his right-hand man, played by Paul Bettany, looking at a young analyst's computer model.
Oh, Jesus, I can't read these things. Just speak to me in English.
All right, basically, this kid, Peter Sullivan, he gets all inspired by your pep talk. Nice job, by the way. And he delves straight in after work. And I think he nailed it.
Well, what they're seeing are these computer models. A laid-off worker, Stanley Tucci's character, slips a flash drive to one of the young analysts, the Zachary Quinto we heard from, who figures out that this company's about to crash. And the head of the company, Jeremy Irons' character, then tells the Kevin Spacey character that that bag of excrement they find themselves holding, they've got to sell it. Here's his response to that. Let's listen for just a second.
If you do this, you will kill the market for years. It's over. And you're selling something that you know has no value.
We are selling to willing buyers at the current fair market price so that we may survive.
You will never sell anything to any of those people ever again.
I understand.
Do you?
Do you?
People, by the way, have speculated that Jeremy Irons' character, the head of the company, John Tulled, is a play on Fuld, who actually led the Lehman Brothers. Is it?
Only in sort of name only. It's John Thane and Dick Fuld combined, which is John Tulled, obviously. So it was a way of sort of reminding myself as I was writing that whenever that character popped up, that was the CEO character, essentially. I had planned to change it, frankly. And then when I put the script out into the world, a couple of people sort of glommed onto that and really loved that there was sort of, you know, some kind of under the surface kind of mention there. And so it was really just a writer's trick to kind of keep myself moving forward at the time. And I combined the CEO of Merrill Lynch and the CEO of Lehman Brothers at the time. But he is, you know, the way Jeremy plays that character is not either of those guys at all. It was every CEO I had sort of ever heard an interview of kind of put into a blender. And then what Jeremy brought to it kind of took it to a whole level of his own.
Well, he was Scar in The Lion King. I mean, he was
exactly
just evil and nakedly ambitious and yet maybe right. I mean, what are you saying here? Because he tells Kevin Spacey's character, don't worry, just go out and sell this stuff. It doesn't matter if, you know, these are people we have to deal with on a daily basis and they're not going to trust us. Sell it anyway because the game will go on. And it seems to have.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we had such difficulty financing the film, frankly, was because there is no hero and there are no pure villains. The sort of Scar character, if you call it Mr. Irons' character, interestingly, is right throughout the film. If we go by sort of any broad interpretation of what a CEO of a most likely publicly traded company, you know, is supposed to do. In this case, he has a piece of information about assets on their books, and he needs to act on that, and that is perfectly within his right and within the law for the most part. Spacey's character at that point is who we want to be right, but he's not.
J.C. Chandor, writer-director of Margin Call. As we go into a break, let's listen to another scene in which Kevin Spacey's character disdainfully tells his company's board how he's going to sell those toxic assets to Wall Street.
Well, you call the traders in for the normal 6:30 meeting and you be honest with them because they're going to know it's the end either way. So you're going to have to throw them a bone and a pretty big one. And then you've got to come out of the gate storming. No swaps, no nothing. 40% done by 10:15. By 11 o'clock, all your trades have to be gone because by lunchtime, word's going to be out. And by 2 o'clock, you're going to be selling at 65 cents on the dollar if you're lucky.
Back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with J.C. Chandor, the writer-director of the new film Margin Call, which tells the story of a high-flying Wall Street firm that discovers its holdings are worthless. The CEO directs workers to sell them off despite the effect on the market. Stanley Tucci plays an analyst who'd warned about the investments only to be laid off. Instead of turning whistleblower, he'll take a payout because he needs it. And in this scene, he reminisces about a time when he actually did something for a living instead of moving money.
Do you know I built a bridge once?
Sorry, a bridge. No, I didn't know that.
I was an engineer by trade.
Mm-hmm.
It went from Dillsbottom, Ohio to Moundsville, West Virginia. It spanned 912 feet above the Ohio River. 12,100 people use this thing a day. and it cut out 35 miles of extra driving each way between Wheeling and New Martinsville. That's a combined 847,000 miles of driving a day.
J.C. Chandor, what are you trying to do here? You've said you were looking to, what, humanize them? Is that the wrong word? Because to some, that's like, well, wait a second, am I supposed to feel sorry for these guys?
Yeah, no, I certainly don't think anyone should be feeling sorry for them. What I wanted to do was, I don't agree with every character or most of the characters, frankly, but to actually sort of look at what it felt like to be in that place at that time, and then hopefully you actually understand the decision-making process of each of these characters.
Well, one of the things that just about every character has in common is that they are in so deep with how much money they make and the lifestyles they've erected because of that money, they can't get out. They can't run off and be the whistleblower. They take payoffs, and you get a sense of that money in this scene. Now, the young traders who are just in awe of their bosses who make millions. One of them asks, one of those bosses, Paul Bettany, how do you spend $2.5 million salary? Let's listen.
That was quite quickly. You know, you learn to spend what's in your pocket.
$2.5 million goes quickly.
All right, let's see. So the tax man takes half up front, so you're left with 1.25. My mortgage takes another $300,000. I send $150 home for my parents, you know, keep them going. So what's that?
$800.
All right, $800. Spent $150 on a car, about $75 on restaurants, probably $50 on clothes. I put $400 away for a rainy day.
That's smart.
Yeah, as it turns out, because it looks like the storm's coming.
They pay you just enough to feel rich and not so much that you can ever quite walk away. They want you to be there on a tether. So in many cases, they were actually giving employees mortgages so that they could get in over their head in a weird way. I don't think it was, they would argue it wasn't quite so malicious, but that's what essentially happened.
Yeah, you can't quit your job if your mortgage is $25,000 a month and you need it next month.
And it's not just quit your job, but you're going to be far less likely to sort of tap the brakes, you know, in your department or to, as Stanley Tucci's character did, you know, whisper a concern, and then when that concern is slapped down, you sort of go back into your office and feel that someone else must know more than you.
Well, another observation, the character played by Zachary Quinto, the young analyst who figures everything out, is a rocket scientist. I mean, he really is a rocket scientist who was drawn to Wall Street because that's where the money is. You get this sense of, you know, other businesses getting drained because of that. Is this something you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my sort of core interests. I have a good friend that Zach's character is sort of loosely based on. And then in doing research on those floors, you know, on the big trading floors, you run into exactly that character. And so I hope that one of the things people come away from the film is realizing our universities are tax-deductible institutions, so they are there. You know, we make a choice as a society to have these massive, massive, you know, institutions of higher learning. And these companies very, very wisely pinpoint the finest institutions and come in and start recruiting after, in some cases, before the students even get there. But in most cases, your freshman year, the recruiting starts, and then there are summer internships each year. And if there's anything to be said about the sort of Occupy Wall Street movement, is this feeling bubbling to the surface, and where that energy is now actually aimed is going to be very interesting. But one of the places, you know, I would love to see it aimed is to curtail the ability to recruit in such an extreme, extreme way.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was going to ask you when I first heard about Margin Call if your film was a little late, you know? But you're right. Yeah. Here we have Occupy Wall Street. David Denby says if Wall Street executives are at a loss to understand what the protesters outside their windows are getting at, watch this film. And we also, you know, are seeing the same things happening.
I would say the film isn't too late. Unfortunately, I think, you know, we're a little late in raising the alarm bells here from a political standpoint. There's not much political capital left to do anything about it here, unfortunately. But the film actually, is never time stamped, and it really is just the tale of sort of human nature and a bubble. I also did, I must say that I knew enough about that world when I sat down to write this that I felt that this wasn't going to be something that we were going to bounce right back from, yeah. That we were going to unfortunately be feeling the effects of this for many years.
J.C. Chander, the film that he wrote and directed is Margin Call. Remind us, a margin call is what?
A margin call is when you are out trading stocks that you've borrowed money to trade with. And it's a very, very dangerous, potentially dangerous situation because usually when one person is having, you know, their loan called in a margin call situation, which forces you to sell your assets, it usually means that that's happening to several other people. And then that, of course, is how you get a death spiral. And so it's a very kind of dramatic time usually in either that one trader's life or, as you know, in the title here, in really a whole society starting to get the bill coming due.
Gee, MF Global. I think they were paying for all those European bonds that they were buying by these overnight loans that they were getting.
Exactly.
Financing it that way. J.C. Chander, thanks so much and best to you with your film.
Thank you.
And by the way, the film Margin Call is in theaters. It's also available on demand. We're going to take a break. We'll have the latest news for you. And then President Obama says he will be the decider on the Keystone Pipeline.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance. On view now, ICABoston.org. And Philips Healthcare, dedicated to improving access, managing costs, and helping clinicians improve care globally. At philips.com/healthcare.